Good morning, everyone. Very warm welcome to Rocking Row Baptist Church this morning. A very special welcome to Sue, who's coming to preach to us today, and to what I assume is your husband. Sorry. Don't necessarily like to make assumptions, you know, but a very warm welcome to you both. It's lovely to have you with us, and we hope that you feel blessed as we share worship together and you lead whatever God's given to you for us. Normal notices, fire, that way, that way. Coffee after the service, please stay for that. Deacons meeting today, please pray for us as we have to face each other around the table of issues for the church. Couple of notices, there's a beetle drive on the 20th of October in aid of Christian Aid, and that'll be here. And is that Margaret organising or is that Maureen? Maureen's organising that. Yes, Maureen can't be with us today, I'm afraid. But please sign up for that, put a note in your diary and come and join in that one. We have our Harvest Bring and Share on October the 28th. So our next Bring and Share, that must be 29th. It must be 29th. October the 29th. So well, we're October the 8th now, so it will be 29th. Fifth Sunday. we were sort of supposed to have Harvest last week, and David Gamston didn't get the memo. So we're doing it as a family event, and so please bring things to decorate the front. Laura's actually asked that we leave them here after the morning service because she wants to do a Harvest thing with the toddlers the following day, and it would be really helpful if we still had the display up. But any food that you donate will go to a food bank, and we haven't decided what we're collecting for. Usually it's for BMS, but we'll let you know that in due course. But for that bring and share especially, just think about special Harvest themes, Harvest songs. Be a good opportunity to bring out some of the golden oldies, and I have a new one to share with you, which you're going to love. Okay, on a more serious note, we report today the death of Jen Woolley. You all know she's been in hospital for the last couple of weeks, and Jen, of course, is a massive figure in our church and continued to be significant, even you know, with her physical ailments. So we pray for her family, for Mike, for Wendy, for John. The funeral will be here. It will be taken by Laura, and that will be 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the 8th of October. 19th, you haven't put the date down. On the 19th of October. So it will be 2 o'clock on the 19th of October, and then there will be a service at the crematorium following that. Okay. Sue, all yours.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. Echoing a bit, okay. Greetings from Fuller. Obviously, we're just like you, with lots of different visiting preachers. And it's Ian Green this morning, who some of you will know because he was our youth minister for a while and was actually instrumental in leading my daughter, who's now got her own 20-year-old, but hey-ho, into baptism. So different things happening in all the churches in Kettering, aren't there? It's we're all without ministers, so we're all sharing in fellowship and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always, always I'm aware of how lucky we are in this country. We can come together like this. We can worship. We're not frightened when we go out of the door. We're not frightened and hiding in houses. We're not like some of the BMS missionaries who cannot even share a newsletter around the world because it would put them in danger. We are free to worship here, and that is a fantastic blessing. I find it hard to express how good it makes me feel, and how proud of our country, really, that we still have our faith. We may be diminishing in terms of people sat in seats, but there's a lot of faith in the world, a lot of faith in this country, and a lot of people who, if you ask them, will say, yes, I believe, but going to church is not for me. So don't underestimate the power of the Lord in this country. It is there. And we think of the Christians in this town, throughout our country, and around the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are perhaps worshipping like we are at this very minute. We don't know. I'm involved with our Sunday club, and we're very lucky. We can sometimes have quite large numbers. And one of the things we were looking at then was Christianity around the world. And my jaw dropped when I read the notes that said the largest Christian congregation that is known is in South Korea, and they get 200,000 every week in one massive arena service. That blew my mind, really. I was kind of envisaging the O2 and modern pop concerts and thinking, wow. So let's sing as we are the people of God, come people of the risen King. We're here as part of that vast community and faith of Christians throughout the world. But we are here for our own journey with God as well, as well as being part of that bigger fellowship. So come, taste what God has to offer. Come hear what Christ has to say. Come and see what we are called to, and to still our minds and hearts, let's sing "Here I Am to Worship." So as we join together to praise and learn more about our wonderful God, let us bow our heads in prayer. God of all ages and all generations, we lay before you today ourselves and all that has been entrusted to us, our prayers to surround all those who are in trouble, our words to share your good news, our hands to reach out to those who are lonely, our feet to walk with those whose journey is hard, our hearts to pass on your great gift of love, and our lives for you to shape and nurture. We lay all this before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, I'm thinking that we do have sorrow in lives, and at Fuller this morning, there will be deeper sorrow even than there has been over the last few weeks, as many people in the congregation will be thinking tomorrow. It will be the funeral of a lady called Kathy Gillett, who I would guess that some of you here would know. She's been a big part of our church for many, many years, led lots and lots through youth work. We have current deacons who were brought to faith under the guidance of Kathy. But she was unexpectedly taken from being a very active part of our church to having a very serious and unusual illness. So her passing is a blessing. And her final words to her family was, "I love you all very much, but it's time for me to go home." And that is a blessing that she could face that with peace in her heart and has helped her family. And I know death is one of the certainties of life, unfortunately. We are human. It's the one thing we're guaranteed we will meet at some time or other. We've all been born and we will all die. But when and how is up to God, isn't it? And the sorrow and the bereavement is the suffering of the people who are left behind when others are called home, the people who miss them, who care for them. And bereavement and sorrow is a sign of the amount of love you had for that person. It's the cost of love, because if you love someone, you do miss them even more. And so I'm bearing that in mind today, as I hear you've had a loss in this church, and I know we have at Fuller as well. And I feel it would be remiss of me not to send my love out, and the love of many people and people in this congregation, to those who are missing dear ones. Our reading this morning is on the theme of taking responsibility for what God has entrusted to us. And there are various ways of thinking about your own life and what that means for you. And it's from Matthew, and it's one of the parables that Jesus told. And it's a vineyard parable, and there are lots of vineyards mentioned, aren't there, throughout the Bible. But this is the parable of the tenants. So it's Matthew 21, beginning at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall round it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, they killed another, and they stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes? People replied, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. And we give thanks for God's holy word. And in there we mention the cornerstone. And so now we will sing Cornerstone.
Thank you.
the cornerstone. There are arches in this. I can look over the door there and look behind me, this wonderful arch. We sing about a cornerstone, sometimes called the keystone. It's the stone right at the top of the arch. And if that is removed, the whole thing collapses. Christ was removed, we wouldn't be Christians. He is our cornerstone, the thing that holds us all together and guides our faith. And the cornerstone is mentioned in the Old Testament as well. It's the stone in Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, because Jesus was rejected at that point by many, but not by all. And then it's mentioned again in Matthew 21, as we've just heard, and in Acts. And then we just heard about the vineyard and the tenants, the evil farmers, evil tenants. Throughout the Bible, we have stories based around nature, and vineyards were very common. Not like Snapchat, Facebook. Another 20 years, they may not exist. They definitely weren't here 100 years ago, were they? But nature and plants growing, continuous symbol of God's love, and helps our understanding in the Bible. So all these vines growing and the wine being made and the grapes being pressed. And in some places, if the water wasn't good, the wine was safer to drink. Perhaps not the case these days, definitely not in the UK. And so vineyards come up quite a lot throughout the Bible. In Psalm 80, in the Old Testament, it says that God transplanted a vine, dug up a vine, a plant, and took it somewhere else. And that's about when the people of Israel were freed from Egypt and taken out of slavery and put into a new land. And in Isaiah, there's the song of the vineyard, but it was a vineyard that only yielded bad fruit. God had transported the people of Israel, but they'd stopped following him. They lived as if God didn't exist. They started worshipping idols. They wanted to go their own way. And so the vineyard stories carry on. And now we have Jesus, who does more than one story about a vineyard. But in this particular one, we're looking at the evil tenants. So the landowner, God, has given to Israel, the Jews, this land. And the tenants are the religious leaders who are telling them and leading them, this is how you need to relate to God. This is what God expects of you. Are they doing it right? Because what did those tenants do? They didn't listen to God when he, as the landowner, said, I need my fruit from you. What fruit have you borne when you've looked after these vines? They didn't. They killed the servants he sent. And the servants in this parable represent all the prophets that have come through the ages and the faithful priests who did stay close to God. But they killed them. And then he sent his son. And what happened then? He thought they would respect his son. He thought he would live to a ripe age, able to teach the world, give more examples. He knew he would die eventually, because human form dies. But humans intervened, just like these evil tenants And they killed the son as well. They killed his son. Now, what will God do? In human terms, and at that point of time, there were arguments over land. There still are, aren't they? Most wars are arguments over land and power and money. And the general reaction is violence on violence. Would God be violent back to the people? That's not God's way, is it? Our God is a God of love. But what he did say was, if you as the tenants, if you as the vines in the vineyard aren't yielding good fruit and aren't respecting my son, I will give this vineyard to other people, to other tenants. I will give it and make it available to the Gentiles. It won't just be for you. It will be for all people. So that's in verse 43. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. So we are the people to whom it's been given. We are the people who the message of Christ has been given, and God's love for us and the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life everlasting. So what kind of vines are we? Are we producing good fruit? Are we sweet or are we sour vines? What kind are you at the moment? How close are you to your God? How much are you listening? I'm a deacon at Fuller, so I've got to listen to the message given to the tenants, the religious leaders, and any deacons here have to as well. Are we leading so that the people and the town we're in and the area we're in is producing good fruit? Are we looking after the vineyard that's been entrusted to us? Are we good farmers? What habits and behaviours have we developed that keep us close to our God? Are we focusing on what matters? Letting God be God and being open to what he's doing in our lives, in our town, and what messages he's giving us. I loved the poster over there when I came in. If you're asking for God to guide your footsteps, you have to be prepared to move. Go forward in your behavior. What habits, what things can you do? What has God given to help us? He wants us to be good vines. He wants us to behave in the right way. Well, we have the Bible. That tells us lots about our behavior. And Jesus, we follow his role model. How does he tell us to behave? But every single person here, every single person who comes to faith and belief in Jesus receives the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You are given that, every single one of you. Comes and the Holy Spirit enters you at the point of baptism and is there as part of your life. What are the fruits that help us? Love. Love for one another. The love of Jesus coming into us, I always think it's a little bit like a jug, you know. We have so much love from Jesus, it can overflow. And it can overflow so that our love can be shared with other people. Because as much as you give love away, God gives you even more. You're never empty of love. Always there. He gives you joy because you know how much love you have in your life and the fellowship and the message of the Bible. He gives you the gift of kindness. Kindness to each other, which you can do. Gentleness. There's a few tricky ones. How about guidance for self-control? How many of you, I look back, I would guess some of you do as well, at times in my life and think, why did I say that? That wasn't very nice. Or why did I do that? And you think back on things you've done, and sometimes they repeat and repeat. Other times, and you have to learn to forgive yourself as well as other people. Faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful. He helps us to be faithful. Helps us to be in fellowship with one another. Another tricky one, tricky word as well, I think, forbearance. When other people irritate you, when other people say things you don't like, can you pull on that love and that peace to see the person underneath that bit that irritates you? Perhaps they've got a prickly shell, perhaps they're just not your kind of person, but they are loved by God. And you are loved by God. Find the deeper place. Forbear all the irritations, all the things that can go wrong. Hold on. The thing fruit gives us, isn't it? We're also given gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're different. Not everybody gets all gifts. But in most churches, you have all gifts represented between us, among us. What are these? People who are wise, people who have the gift of wisdom, people who serve, people who are really good at serving. How about the people who encourage, the gift of encouragement? Because, you know, sometimes we all get a bit down and need somebody just to keep us going and build. People who can teach. People who are very, very strong in their faith, and you can go to them. If you're feeling your faith is getting a bit wobbly, hitting a tricky patch, people you can talk to. People who have the gift of prophecy, who can see the future, who have that special connection to God. People who have the gift of tongues. Now, we talk about speaking in tongues, and I know that's not generally common across all churches in this country. And I found it very interesting talking to a member of our congregation who's from Africa. And he said, oh, it was a part of our church. And I said, can you help me understand it more? And he said, it's when I feel I can't put into words my love of God, and I can't put into words what I want to say to God, then these sounds and these speaking in tongues is the way I can do it. And I found that quite interesting. But I think it's also about having the gift of being able to talk to other people, being able to communicate with other people, maybe speak a range of languages. How many of our missionaries who go across the world, they have to learn another language. They have to have some gift to help them to talk to other people. The gift of healing, and some people have that in a very obvious way. Some people have that in a more subtle way. Somebody's feeling ill inside is what I would say. They're feeling down. Maybe their mind is not in a good place. And they know if they spend time with that particular person, they'll make them feel better. How many of you go to see a friend when things are tricky? And just by talking together, they can lift you up and help you feel better inside. So we have these gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we all share. We have the fruits of the Spirit we all have. So what kind of grapes are we going to be? Are we going to be grapes that are close to God and sweet? Are we going to be good tenants, not just of the other people, but God has given us this wonderful world? Are we good tenants of this world that he has given us to look after? What can you do? What habits can you do that will help you be good fruit and a good farmer? And what I've put around is some bits of paper with a picture of a farmer and a picture of some grapes, because I thought maybe you could reflect with somebody else, talk to somebody else about what you could do that would help you spread God's word, hold on to God, hold on to your closeness with God. So it's just an opportunity for you to talk with some other people or with whoever you're next to and just think. And if you wish to draw or colour or write some things, do feel free. If you just want to talk, that's fine as well. What habits can you do that will keep you close to God so that you are good fruit? What habits and things can you do to be a good tenant of this wonderful world of ours? Maybe you can think of some things along those lines. So I'm going to pause for a few minutes now to just give you a chance to talk. Thank you for playing one of my favourites that I have up in my study. Thank you. I hope you've had a few minutes anyway just to think, because each of our journeys with God is individual. We all have our own journey and he knows us as we are. He knows who we are. He knows when we do those things we regret. He knows when at times we've done things we shouldn't have done, and maybe initially we don't regret. I can remember my 3-year-old daughter, who's now in her 50s, but hey-ho, and she'd been, I forget what she'd done to her brother, and I said to her, tell him you're sorry. And she looked at me and she said, well, I should have, because I don't feel sorry. And to be honest, what he'd done, I could understand where she was coming from, and it's a really hard thing. We do things wrong, and sometimes we don't always reflect and stop because the heat of the moment carries us forward. But we can develop those habits of coming to church, being with other people who will guide us, being with other people who remind us of Jesus and all that he's taught us. We can read our Bibles. We can hold on to our prayers. We can do those things. We can go to house groups, be involved with our community that helps keep us close to God. We can look after the world. I would guess that everybody here does a certain amount of recycling, if not everything. Do we think about what we use? Do we look? Definitely, I look at the world now with great sadness and worry. There's an awful lot going on at the moment that is quite frightening, isn't it? And we have to trust in God and hold on to that. We need to hold on to God and keep God as the focus of our sight. And so shall we sing together, Be Thou My Vision. We hold on to our vision, our knowledge of God, the love he gives to us to share with the world, his story that he gives to us, the story of Jesus to share with others, so that they may also know and understand the peace that transcends everything and that enables us to serve our Lord and to be good fruit. The love of our world, your garden outside, but deeper than that, the global warming that frightens everyone, how can we do that in our own small way? Every tiny little bit counts. Every tiny little bit. If everybody over the world did their little bit, it would be a lot, a vast amount. There's the story that a minister at R was saying about a big storm washed up loads and loads of starfish onto a beach, and a gentleman was walking along feeling sad and mourning all of these starfish that were dying on the sand. And he spotted a little boy coming along who was picking up an individual starfish and throwing it back into the sea. And the adult said to the child, "There's no point in doing that. Look at them, there's thousands of them. You can't fix this." And the boy said, "I've fixed it for this one." Isn't it? Every single act of kindness you can do builds up the kindness in the world. Every time you share your faith, you are building up knowledge of God. Every little action, smile at people. Even if you're feeling grumpy inside, smile. We're gifted this wonderful world. We're gifted this wonderful love that God gives us. Share it. If you can't share it in words, share it in your behaviour. Care for each other. Smile at people. Talk to people. Share that love. Because we do have a wonderful God. And the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus who enables all our sins to be forgiven so that we can rest in peace. So let's pray. Good and wonderful God, all that we have and all that we are, we owe to you. Thank you. You give us chance after chance when we get things wrong. Thank you. You sent your Son to show us how much you love us. Thank you. May we follow his teaching and example as we seek to serve others. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, our hope is in Christ. Our gift from God is Christ, who gave his life for us. May we serve him and serve our communities. And let's sing our final hymn, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
Go in the name of Jesus, restored and renewed. May you know God's face shining on you and God's Spirit flowing through you, so that your life is good in the sight of the Lord, and you are a good tenant, protecting and caring for the wonderful world he has entrusted to us. Go in the name of Jesus, beloved by your God.